Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. Play now at supercoach.com.au.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Dead set stolen a wage.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Speaking of stolen a wage, I wouldn't say boo, you.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Oh, we said finals are here. Yes. And this is the time of year that our man, Bins Brownless, comes into his own with some of the worst content you'll ever hear because he's distracted. The only thing that's going to help us this year, Rabbits Bartholomew, is there aren't any lunches.
Oh, yes.
So, therefore, he can't come in half not aware of what he's doing and just rant and rave. It'll be a cleaner version of Bins.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Damien Barrett's going to join us shortly. We're going to dissect a huge final round and, of course, the finals to come.
Oh, Jim.
And there might be something, a little treat later on. Hello to you, Fat.
Oh, g'day, Jimmy boy. Home and away season done and dusted, Jimmy boy. What a round of footy. Did you like it, Rebsy?
I'll give you 20 seconds to produce some cash or I'll shoot you.
There's no cash here. Here, there's no cash, all right? Cash, no. Robbo?
No cash.
No cash.
One, two,
I've got no cash, mate. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12.
And then he shoots him in the guts and goes, see what you made me do?
I think it's 20th anniversary of that movie this year.
Is it? One of the funniest movies ever made. Oh, look at me. At I'm flying.
Bill. I watched Naked Gun 2.5 last night.
How good, by the way. Bill, it was the funniest thing.
You've got to watch them again.
Oh, of course you do.
They're chasing this robber and there's a cleaner coming through. He's mopping the floor and they all slide past the lift. Just stupid things, Jim.
Yeah, thank you. That's what the whole movie's based on, Bill.
I know.
Now, what's going on, please?
Well, plenty going on. Did you love that round of footy? How good? I know we'll talk to Damo.
Well, until Sunday. The three Sunday games fell away. But Saturday, that's as entertaining a day of watching the footy as you'll ever have.
I know.
And, of course, even Friday night was a ripper. Brilliant.
Even our game was unbelievable. It wasn't great early, but then
last
Tigers
10 minutes.
Kicked five. Then we got up and about for a change. Duck was there. I think he went to sleep, but he got back into it. But, Jimmy, plenty of footy. We'll talk to Damo about that. But what about the Storm? They have equaled the record, Jim. 19th consecutive win over the Titans. It was a tough game. At halftime, they were down, actually. But they take on the Eels next week to win.
Sure?
Yes, I'm sure. 20th.
And the Eels beat them earlier in the year, didn't they? Was it?
They got a good record against the Storm,
were
boys.
They one of the last teams to beat them, I reckon, earlier in the year, the Eels.
20 weeks
anyway,
ago.
It was a long time ago, yeah.
Absolutely. So, but they did it tough on the weekend, but got there.
Rugby league.
Josh Addo-Carr got a couple of tries.
Rugby league.
There he is there. He loved it too, didn't he, old Joshy boy? Now, Ash Barty, what a star, Jim.
The best.
She's just won another tournament over there. What was the tournament called? It was the Cincinnati Masters. So this year she's won Melbourne, Miami, Stuttgart, and Wimbledon. That's not a bad year.
And now Cincinnati, a freak.
Well done to her. What
and
a star.
And carries herself so beautifully. I love it.
Just the Storm have lost to the Panthers and Parramatta.
They did lose to Parramatta.
There you go, Jimmy boy. Mm-hmm. Must have been 20 weeks ago.
I like it. Yes.
What about the golf? What's happened there? Because our man, Cameron Smith, he fired a 60, Jim. He was putting for a 59. What is a 59 in golf? What's it equal?
Well, it depends a lot on the par of the course, by the way. So it's if it's a par 72 course, which most are, then it's 13 under par.
13?
Which is ridiculous. But in the States especially, some of them are par 70s, so that's 11 under par. It's still a ridiculous thing. Now, I think only 8 people have done it. Stewie Appleby has shot a 59 on the USPGA Tour. So anyway, shot a 60, had a good look at a birdie on the last just slid by. Mm-hmm. But he is a star. They had to cancel the final round.
Yeah,
so,
hurricane.
We're going to be interesting to see what they do there because they can only go so far beyond the end of the tournament because these boys have all got to up and go somewhere else.
So how many days can they wait?
John Rahm, big Rambo.
Corona. Corona Rahm.
Exactly.
He's had it twice.
He's had it twice. So they are tied at the lead. So interesting to see what they do there. But Smithy barely lost a couple of weeks ago as well.
He's
having a very, very good time.
Still got the mullet?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Terrible. Terrible. But he's playing good golf.
Yes.
And I just wanted to play this because of his name. This bloke is the new player for the Sydney Sixers. He's from the West Indies and his name is...
Remember the name!
Carlos Braithwaite. Doesn't it say it in there?
No.
Just that. Remember the name, brother.
Well, I think if you extend it out a bit, he says, Carlos Braithwaite.
Remember the name.
That's it. So he's playing for the Sydney Sixers. That'll be coming around shortly,
just
I suppose,
boy.
Jim.
He's a huge boy, Carlos Braithwaite.
A big boy. Hits it well Massive. And bowls yes. okay. Yes. I tell you what, but speaking of watching that, how bad is it not having crowds, Jim?
I know.
Well, not having crowds.
Yesterday I did Collingwood and Essendon for seven. I actually think I said it on air. Surely this is the last time.
Got to be.
Because there'd normally be what, Rab? 70?
60.
Or 70,
at least.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Essendon flying into a final series, so they would add all of their nuffies there. Instead of that, there's no one.
Yeah.
And surely that never happened. We get to 70%+ vaccinated.
Yep.
We open it up like they have in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yes.
And we get our act back together for businesses, for kids.
Yep.
Can't have kids at home.
No,
that doesn't
no,
work. They
no.
need to be able to get to school and learn in class and see their mates and play their sport on the weekend. We must fix this.
We live with it. We live with the virus.
Of course. Of course. All right. Let's get Damo in.
Damo.
For selfwealth.com.au, this is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Bill.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I went to a joint gym that was that small that I put me key in the front door and it opened the back door.
Oh, no.
Shebang. Yeah. Peter and Kiel.
Shebang.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. And for 4 and 20, Damo is in the studio to chat round 23.
Whoa, my
old
Damo.
And cast forward to the finals.
They're good 4 and 20,
aren't they?
Yes.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session. Footy isn't footy without a hot 4 and 20. Find your favourite 4 and 20 in your local supermarket freezer aisle or convenience store pie warmer today.
So back 15 years ago when we could go to the footy.
Yep.
I never feel like having a pie until I get to the MCG.
Yeah.
And then I just go straight up and the 4 and 20, they get them at the perfect temperature.
Yep.
They're not too hot. You can rip straight into them.
Sauce.
A pot, 4 and 20 and some sauce.
Yeah.
Bill.
Coke.
That is Shangri-La. Well. No, pot. That is Shangri-La.
Oh, pot.
Coke. Not if you're sitting in the outer,
a bit there.
Having Coke. A pot.
Actually, I went into 7-Eleven the other day. The old pie warmer. Yeah, it just sits there.
How good.
It actually draws you in.
Of course.
The smell
they're the
gets
best
it.
Pie by a mile. Yeah. Now,
Jim,
Damo.
We've been having him on the Sunday footy show, too. Like, and sometimes your first one's in the first ad break, Bill, isn't it? 10:30.
Well, Nath Brown.
If he hasn't finished, then there's a few left, but yeah.
No, I love it.
Now, what are we making of everything that happened on the weekend? Let me start by saying this. I was on Fox. It wasn't the seven games. So I'm not saying this for any sort of pump-up reason. The last 25 minutes of that game between West Coast and the Brisbane Lions is the most compelling football television of the year. A 30-point win, you couldn't take your eyes off
the
it.
The live ladder. How good
was unbelievable.
And they kick a goal and only got 0.3 or 4. Yeah. You go, is that all you get for a goal?
And it was genius, Bill, because they only had to the one decimal point. Yeah. If they had to the second, you'd know. Like, you'd actually know, but they kept that intrigue going. And then, and then the umpires, not deliberately, but inadvertently, gave them an extra 22 seconds.
Yes.
And they needed time as much as they needed goals and points. So that
goodness.
Helped them. And then Link McCarthy just sneaking that ball. And you thought it was out in the full, Bill, I thought.
Well, I wanted to have another look at it. Curled around.
It was in.
But if you have a look at the boundary ump, he was literally standing right under the posts and he immediately went right. But I saw the big Duke that night. He said he had to go to the third umpire. He had to send that upstairs.
Well, they didn't.
Just
to make sure.
No. But it was just, I can't ever remember that happening where a 30-point win was as tense as that. It was
then the
fantastic.
Crowd were onto it.
They were.
Fags.
He worked through these things up. And then our game wasn't a great game, but then a draw.
Oh, my goodness.
Tigers kicking last five games, and then Burgoyne could have touched it. That should have been written into the
It was
script.
Extraordinary. I know there's been enough commentary around it now, but it was 1987 revisited, wasn't it, with that famous last round where the Demons got in and Geelong playing Hawthorn, and then the famous Styx Gurnahan moment out at Waverley Park where he beat North Melbourne, got him on top of the ladder, as Max Gawn did. It's,
he kicked eight or nine that day, whatever, he kicked big chip. And all I know, because they replay it all the time, is for the last 40 minutes of that game, Donald McDonald was meant to be playing on him.
Yep.
And every time I see it, I ring him and say, Donald,
and he's yes.
He's got the hair down the back. He's got number four on. He's kicked seven at that point. Is there any danger of you getting somewhere near him? He goes, JB, I wasn't a defender. The Kanga sent me. I had no idea what I was doing. Anyway.
I've got a feeling Mark Hepburn played on him for a period of that game as well.
He's a great player.
And then
of course,
the Cats.
What happened there?
Well, I'll tell you, Reece Stanley is very important to that club. He was playing well early, and then Maxie just got on top. And then there was Hawk, there was Reece, there was Rowan, there was eight blokes there.
And they all didn't want to know of it.
Maxie marked it. First of all, Cam Guthrie. You don't kick it out the full. You just go down the line.
I would have thought.
I reckon he'd have 100 kicks.
You don't thump it further over the line. So there was a few issues there.
A couple of lessons learned. Mind you,
I'm not saying this because of his surname. The deliberate out of bounds against Angus Brayshaw, that might be the worst decision of the year.
Do you not have a feel for the game?
He was being tackled.
That was
10 I mean, it's just astounding.
4 points behind or 2 points behind. Why would he want to go to bounds?
Well, and that's Chris Scott, who's a very classy man, even said, even in the presser, he said, and by the way, how that was deliberate out of bounds, I have no idea. Yeah. So it was, I mean, even the opposition coach acknowledged it. But it look, credit to Melbourne, the moons are aligning purple. 64, the last time they finished on top, premiership year.
We'll get to them in the positives in a moment. Jim, just a couple of quick updates for those who haven't caught up with it. Two finals out of the four, both elimination finals being played in Launceston to a crowd of 10,000.
Why not Hobart, one of them?
I did seek to get to the bottom of that, and I never got to the bottom of it, actually, Bill. So it's a good question.
Yeah, both games in Launceston, 50%. 10,
no, I did. I think the seating configuration is better at Launceston than it is Hobart. Would that
be
right?
There's lots more bank
and stuff there. So I did ask that question, Bill. Sorry, I did get to the bottom of that.
Good,
there's more seats available under the provisions of the percentage of crowd, which is about 50%, and they're going to have 15,000 only at the two SA Adelaide Oval finals.
Why is that? That staggers me. They're COVID-free in that state, best as I can work out. They've got 50,000 capacity. Why wouldn't they at least make it 25?
Look, I've tried to refrain from being too political, Jim, but have you seen Nicola Spurrier's work this year, the chief health officer in SA?
You know what they're trying to do, though? All of those health officers, they're trying to out-nob each other. No, they are.
The Sydney girl.
They're all trying to have a go at being a bigger flog than the other one. And it's astounding. You look at them all speak and you just think, what is wrong with you?
And the premiers are doing a pretty good job of it too.
When you're putting some of the premiers in the shade with your flogisms, that makes you, means you're getting your eye right in.
The health ministers, they don't look healthy.
No.
They don't.
I'm not talking about
appearance. I'm telling that they're just, I'm
more talking about what comes out of their mouth.
Whatever,
it's just the biggest lot of crap I've ever heard. But how can you tell me, if you've got no cases in your state, that you can't have at least half of the Adelaide Oval full of people?
I think she wants them touching the footy, Jim, whoever's in the state. So
sweaty footy.
Honestly,
if they do, make sure you sanitise before you have your chips, Bill.
I cannot believe it.
No,
all right, so Perth firming.
Perth is firming. We discussed this at reasonable length on Saturday, didn't we? That we both feel that that's where it's headed, and I've heard nothing in the 48 hours since that it's still not going to be there.
Well, it's got to be a full house.
Yeah,
you would not go to all of that trouble because it will be a ridiculous amount of logistical to get everyone there, and you won't do all of that unless you can get a full house.
No, and that's the beauty of Perth when it comes to that aspect of this conversation. Where do they take it? Because there's if Adelaide as a state government and health office is prepared only to allow 15,000 into a Port Adelaide qualifying final. There's no guarantee that it goes up to even 50%, and that's still going to be a stadium that only then, still looks pretty sparse.
All right, so that interests me. So then Port Adelaide, were they to get over Geelong and earn a home prelim final, and that's at the Adelaide Oval?
Yes.
I believe
now, these are a lot of these are ifs, but if they were that to happen, are you 15,000 again in 2 weeks' time?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? And given that they've resisted the urge, and even Travis Boak, didn't he, used the immediate minutes after the game to plead with his state, open it up. If Travis Boak can't get it done, Gillon McLachlan's not going to get it done. So, Jim, I don't have the answer to that question. We do know that effectively there was a full house for the Derby 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
So they can get 100% of that capacity stadium in Perth. Yep. So that's why it appeals so much. But again, they're still delaying it. Travis Auld, who is in charge of all this today, spoke to announce and launch the finals. didn't say much other than what we already knew with the announcements yesterday, but did indicate that within 48 hours they'd have or thereabouts, and again, even I'm sort of speculating on that time frame, but sometime reasonably soon, they will make an announcement on that venue. And on top of that, as best I could get out of him was that the bye that has been moved from post round 23 pre-finals will be if they are to have it, and I think they will be after the prelim. So
after
going
the prelim.
Into the
a week off leading into the granny.
That was the
Super Bowl style.
Super Bowl style, yeah, and that would then allow to get the teams into Perth if indeed Perth is the successful.
Also, the concussion rule.
That's potentially also part of it too, Bill.
Imagine that if you get concussion prelim. Oh, yes, he's right for granny.
So four fascinating finals for me coming up. But the most fascinating is the Western Bulldogs Essendon.
Yeah.
Western Bulldogs have not won a final since they won the grand final in 2016.
Yep.
And Essendon haven't won a final since 2004.
Four,
I mean, the stakes for those two clubs in that game, given it's an elimination final.
Yep.
I mean, the stakes are massive in every final, but that game has got more on it than the other three, I reckon.
And the one type of player that the Bulldogs really and desperately need right now is the one that will be playing for the other team that they once had access to, that being Jake Stringer too. So I think he adds an amazing chapter to this whole game that's about to be played on Sunday.
The Bombers haven't beaten anyone in the top eight except for the Dogs 2 weeks ago.
Is that right?
They have not beaten anyone else in the top eight all year. So they've even drawn their first final opponent against the only team they've beaten above them. So I reckon it's fascinating.
And Port Adelaide are the same, aren't they?
Because the
Western Bulldogs, they beat them, but they went to fifth.
Oh, well, yeah, in the top four, then maybe you're referring to.
Top four. The Bombers, it's the top eight. So I think this is, I can't wait for them all, but that game has got massive layers.
Yeah, it does. And I think the Swans would have liked a few other options than the ones they're playing in GWS. Yes. I think they match up reasonably well. And I know you've alerted the competition to the merits of Sam Taylor some time ago. Yeah, and him on Buddy Franklin as a key matchup. He was great again on the weekend, wasn't he? He has had a really good year.
How many does he need for the 1,000?
He's 8 short now, Bill. So couldn't see it happening in the first week and maybe not even the second. But if he somehow scrounges a prelim final appearance out of this season, he might be getting it then.
Who will get to the 1,000 first, Buddy or the coronavirus in New South Wales?
Have a listen to Bill.
Who'd you hear that from, Bill?
Have a listen to theme. Bill. A theme or whatever it is doing the rounds. Meme.
Theme.
Oh, my. It was a meme, Jim.
Theme.
It was a meme. Oh, themed meme.
Oh, my goodness. We need to take a break, Purple. Lots more to discuss with you after this.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
This is Damo's Recovery Session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. And for 4 and 20, Damien Barrett is in the studio.
And?
Well, let's talk positives, Jim. Yes. You know I like coming in on a Monday, and I like to start with the positives. Bill tries to get me down the negative path first, but I want to start positives today, and there's only one place we can start with positives.
It's Guthrie from the kick in. That is out of bounds on the full.
That's not positive.
And 50 as well.
Well over.
And Jake Lever, with 27 seconds left on the clock,
what's this?
He's going to be marched to 50 metres out from goal. Lever tries to pinpoint mark and gets one.
15 seconds to go.
Gorn, who's been such a key plank in this last quarter comeback, drifts forward and marks 20 metres out to win the game. It rests on his shoulders.
Long piece,
Siren has sounded. High drama. In the search for the minor premiership, Melbourne
kicked it.
Will finish the season on top of the AFL ladder.
Fat.
Bad luck, Bill.
What happened?
You played that because of me, did you? Silly, stupid, four-eyed typewriter.
I don't mind it.
Well, it didn't have to go so long.
What happened?
Oh, there's a couple of things we fell over, Jim. I tell you what.
Who do you most blame?
I'm not. A couple of them, at least. I've never sworn at the telly. Yeah. If someone had a camera on me, I just get up and walk out, and then I come back. I say, no, Bill, settle down. Then if I was going to throw the remote through the telly, I thought, no, I paid too much for it. But gee, you go up and down. When they kicked 8 goals, I'm high-fiving myself and texting blokes. Then people start texting you back, going sucked in fat and all that. Jeez, your emotions are unbelievable.
So can you give me the 3-2-1 as to who was most culpable in that Cats loss, Bill? Where's Guthrie appear on those?
Oh,
lots?
He's there.
Yeah.
Cam, I love Cam, and he's been a very good player.
Where's Close?
Any chance you can just kick it down the line.
And then Closey?
Closey. Well, he's only a kid, but he won't do that again. No. Ever. in his life he won't do that again.
And which of those big men or any man down in that defensive 50?
17 Geelong players are just all around, Max. Yeah. 17 of them.
Get somebody on him, someone.
Just a punch or something.
It's natural reaction, human-wise, to just shun any involvement. Gary Rowan flew up and thought, no, it wasn't by man.
Hawk's standing out the back there.
Stanley, Reece is gone. Stanley's gone. Where's you, Henderson?
No, even Tom Stewart's bloody fault.
What was Hawk doing down there?
I don't know what Hawk. He's just going to save the day.
But Bill, Cam Guthrie, if you're in that situation and you're Chris Scott and you're doing match sim and righto, let's get this right. You've got 20 seconds left. Let's sort the field out and work out what we're going to do if this ever happens. He would start by saying, if it's Cam with the ball, now, Cam, before we set up anyone down the ground or do it, the one thing you cannot do in this situation is kick the ball out of bounds on the full and give them back the footy.
Spot on.
So make sure your kick doesn't go out of bounds and we can work on the rest.
That's it, Jim. And they would have done it 100 times.
100 times.
And guess what? Cam would have kicked it 100 times
down
the line.
That's it.
But in a game, things happen. It's just a weird
You see
game.
Opposition players, don't you, at that venue, on that side of the ground, often kick it out. But not a Geelong player.
That's right. Exactly. And that by where he took the kick, it's a tram line. There's not even any curvature. It's just dead straight line. As we said, well done to Melbourne. And there just might be moons aligning for them.
There might be. And I just love the Gorn element to it. Obviously, he kicked the goal like Kernahan did in 87. He had that chance in round one, 2018, against the Cats with 12 seconds to go in the game.
They're on the mark going, oh, you've done it before, Maxie. You've missed it before.
I thought he was saying that, were they?
They were. All the Geelong boys. Do you see Dangerfield?
And just chatting away to Clary.
And someone spoke to Oliver, and they said, what are you talking about? He said, oh, Danger said his calf sore. So we're talking about his calf.
Body and everything.
Well, Max is having a show. What goes on?
That's the modern player. That's exactly what it is. Hey, speaking of, I know we're going to get to the negatives later, but speaking of not being able to watch your television.
What?
Well, I got home from the game yesterday.
Yes, and
Essendon had done a number on Collingwood. Yeah. Got home. I've been a long weekend, called three games. Yeah, so I thought I need to pick the scab off something. And the North, I watched about 8 seconds of that purple and had to go to the front room.
So I didn't watch any of it.
I just didn't.
Unwatchable. I just didn't. What they produced. Anyway, keep going with the goods.
My brother was alerting me to what was happening. Jimmy got nice and worked up against it.
Unwatchable.
Travis Boak, similar to Max Gorn in the leadership component, Bill, 33 years of age. I think it was arguably his best game. And I know there's been a welter of games prior to this. It was right up there.
Kick goals brilliant. When needed.
Five shots a goal. Kept them in it in the first half, I feel, and then had an amazing last quarter when he just took it upon himself, and along with Ollie Wines, to get the job done.
Just on Ollie Wines, he was offered to Carlton 2 years ago, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he was shopped around. Well, I wouldn't say shopped around. It was known it was known in the Melbourne Footy Club part of the world that he was gettable if you were prepared to cough up the money.
And the captaincy was taken off him.
Well, it was, wasn't it? Because he had that awkward start when he was sharing the captaincy with Jonas. A couple of years ago. So look, what he's done this year has been quite extraordinary.
No,
it's been like Oliver,
love
hasn't
Jonas
it?
Jonas too, by the way.
Yeah. I wanted to just quickly talk about budget. Touch on him a moment ago, Bill, but kicking six goals in that game against West Coast. I think the big boys are starting to come to the fore. Yep. Peter Wright, who kicked seven against the Bulldogs 3 weeks ago, kicked another four on the weekend, just gone against Collingwood, and he looms as a big player. Callum Ward's performance this year for the Giants.
Brilliant.
When they went 0-3, it was Toby Green who had that game against Collingwood, but around that same time, Ward just went back into the middle and just took over and has done it from the moment he started to do it. And he was put back in there and he's been crucial. Great performance.
I can't imagine, just to finish on him, Bill, I can't imagine a bloke you'd more want to play footy with than Carl Ward.
Mm-hmm.
He is outstanding bloke. That same type.
Yeah.
But he never makes any fuss about it. He just goes as hard as you've seen a man at the footy, and then just he cops it. He gets up and goes again. I love him.
Yeah, I do too. Want to give a quick rap to Chad Wingard, who I think had a really good year for Hawthorn. I think he could.
Not good year.
Very good.
Good half year.
Good half year. Yeah, that's a fair call, Bill. Yeah. I think he's going to be in the running for the best and fairest possibilities on the back of that half year. But you're right. It's probably more the back half of the year. But I think it's a credit to him because it wasn't going well there for a while. And also, too, it was a dead rubber, but Jack Steele's game for the Saints against the Dockers again. It's not his fault that they haven't made finals for a second year in a row. He has had an extraordinary season.
Where's the other kid they got mid-season and kicked three?
Yeah, Sharman, isn't it?
Sharman.
Yeah.
Where's he come from?
He came from, we did check out this morning. He came from the Sandful in terms of where he was drafted from, Woodville West Torrens, but he had a time in the Melbourne suburban system there for a while. So it's just a great story, isn't he? And he looks at home. He looks at home.
Yeah.
And looked even, strange enough, better without King in that forward line. So, yeah. Some negatives. Look, again, I'll put them in the negatives, but I reckon both Western Bulldogs and Geelong can take a fair bit out of what they did. Now, Western Bulldogs lost the game by 2 points against Port Adelaide. Yep. The fact they kicked the first four goals of the game and should not have lost the game, there's a bit to take out of it. So I think that's the way they'll be looking at it, Bill. As will the Cats. You don't get to 44 points up without doing a lot right.
And kick eight goals. What about that when they're on a roll?
On a roll, yeah. So if you're Chris Scott, you're looking at the good as opposed to the bad. But, they've left themselves the battle of, look, they're going to have to go to Adelaide Oval to play a qualifying final, but going there to play against Port Adelaide is different than going there to play against Brisbane, as it would have been. So that's the weather. West Coast has escaped scrutiny. I know we've been on them regularly. Yeah. We've had a few buses over there, haven't we, this year, even the way we talk about them on the Monday here. But they really need to blow up what they're doing and properly pull it back. And I expect them to. They're too proud of a footy club to not do that, aren't they?
Yep. They will ferociously examine what's going on.
Richmond? Yep. What about Richmond?
Yeah, same thing to a point, Bill. I mean, I know they've had injuries, they've had issues, and ultimately that got them, and the cumulative effect of just having to get up each week, it all conspired against them. But they didn't set out to finish, where was it officially?
12th.
In 12th, and so they still didn't set out to finish and taper off the way they did either. So they'll be asking the questions, as they should be and as they need to. So Fremantle, very disappointing.
Came off Richmond, second worst finish for a reigning premier. Ever. Adelaide were the worst when they won it and then dropped the 14th or something, but from first to 12th.
There you go. Fremantle, very disappointing given they had the chance to at least be in the eight for a period of time. It might have been only for 2 or 3 hours.
Yes.
But they didn't give a yelp against the Saints. And as for Gold Coast, I don't know where we go with them. Another shocking loss and 87
Collingwood.
Points.
What about Collingwood? Second last. They finished 17th, second last.
Yeah.
With 6 wins.
I think we've known they're down there, though, Bill, for at least 3/4 of the year, haven't we?
And they don't even get picked 2.
No.
The Giants get it.
And look, they didn't expect to finish 17th, but they still would have had to have given up pick 2 to get the play they wanted to get.
They had to get
Dacos
the points
anyway.
Required for Dacos. Yeah. So, that looks bad, but they would have coughed it.
Scott Pendlebury too had some interesting things to
it
say.
It is interesting, Bill. Yeah, on Triple M yesterday. Just putting it out there that if the club wanted to offer him a playing contract and to tack on a couple of years of coaching, a la Sam Mitchell with West Coast and a few others around the competition, it's not the way he normally carries his business.
No.
It's not. Which, again, underlines, anyway, the way I'm reading it, the relative disharmony and intrigue at Collingwood Footy Club right now.
Well, North Melbourne's the other one, Purple. I mean, everyone's sort of a bit glass half full with them because the back half of the year was better. But their first 10 games were appalling. Last year was the worst year that the club's put together on field since 1972, and this year was worse.
Yep.
So I'm not giving them an escape out of that. I say that their business, the business side of that club is in very good shape. The footy side of that club needs urgent attention. Urgent.
And what is most urgently required to be done?
Well, I know that they've split Brady Rawlings' role with someone else, so they've got to, whoever that person is has got to have real expertise.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to rebuild the way they are, and I agree that they're going to have to, then you've got to get all of those next steps right.
Mm.
And to get all of those next steps right, you've got to get people in there that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So they urgently need to address that.
Yeah, and I'm with you. While it's been okay in the back half, it's only been okay. They only managed the 4 wins.
They've lost 4 in a row to finish the season.
Yeah.
I
still don't see it's hard to say you don't see a Buddy Franklin and a Jared Roughead and a Luke Hodge. They're not there on that list. I'm saying that because people at some stage of this year were saying, well, Hawthorn once started pretty slowly and slowly, but there's not something there that's going to take them into the premiership
zone.
Well,
I'll get this kid Horn from South Adelaide, obviously, so that'll be a big plus. But you can't just bring people in and expect that that's all you got to do.
No.
You've got to have the welfare right, you've got to have the staff right, you've got to have the people in the right positions to make sure that whole thing grows to what it can be.
The coach is okay, isn't he? We're happy
with
the coach?
I don't know anything about him, to be honest. I've actually don't think I've ever met him. But you look at what they've done in the back half and they're defending the ground better, and so the signs are good. But yesterday, and I know the last game, Purple, you can fall off
it can happen.
But yesterday looked horrible for much of that game. I thought, geez, this is regressing back to the first half of the year against an Adelaide club who are no good either.
And that's the other issue. Yeah, the fact that Adelaide got them to the tune they did, that's not a great way.
I picked another eight on the weekend.
Eight? Well, you picked the draw.
No, I picked Melbourne to beat Geelong. So I got eight and the draw, so I couldn't.
So is this a Monday morning eight?
This is
that's what Bill does. He goes into the joint he owns and picks his tips.
How do you pick the draw? I couldn't say draw. That would have given it away.
But you pick Melbourne, Bill. That's a good tip.
Well, I didn't Friday, but certainly this morning I did.
Astounding. Good to see you, Purple. Can't wait for the big finals.
No buses?
Thanks, Jim.
No, we don't do buses in the finals, do we?
Oh, we've got that one at Carlton, which is well and truly placed there. And we know that one's at West Coast, and we're going to send that other one we used to have at the Gold Coast for most of the year is going to go back there too, Bill. So.
There's the buses.
There you go.
Damo's recovery session on Triple M's Rush Hour. Footy isn't footy without a hot 4 and 20. Find your favourite 4 and 20 in your local supermarket freezer aisle or convenience store pie warmer today.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Bill's joke still to come.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, okay, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless.
I got asthma.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour on tomorrow's show. We're going to have the Melbourne player because they've got a huge game coming up this weekend.
It's a big game. Saturday night against the Brisbane Lions, of course, in Adelaide. But just got a feel about a Melbourne. The moons are aligning. Yep. The omens are there.
Well, these two are the two informed sides, Jim. Been very good, Melbourne and Port Adelaide, the last 5 weeks. So that'll be a beauty. Now, what do you got for us?
Well, Melbourne, of course, came storming home in that game Saturday night. They're down at the Cattery.
I've turned it off.
They're playing against Geelong. They're 44 points down. Geelong have rattled. They put eight on them in a row. And so all of that stuff was quite extraordinary. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, they came flying home.
And your point is?
Like, that's like being eight lengths back.
Mm-mm. 32 points at three-quarter time, Jim.
That's eight. Well, seven lengths.
Seven, that's, yeah.
Yeah, seven all lengths.
Right. We've spoken about it, Jim.
At the Valley.
Move
where it's
on.
Not that big a straight. And you still manage to, that's Kingston Town-esque.
Shut, you wouldn't know anything about a horse.
Kingston Town.
Shut up with your horse,
gone
buddy.
At the turn
stuff.
And got over the top to, anyway. So we've got a call on the line. I think it's Max joins us from Melbourne.
Oh, Max.
Yeah, Max.
Oh,
no. The big kick to finish. Max.
Yeah, g'day, gents. I've just got a phoner idea for you, actually. When have you blown a 44-point lead? Unusual. It's Todd from Bowen Hill.
Yes.
Seconds to go. You're still in front. You got one hand on the minor premiership. Home qualifying, prelim finals on the line. And the whole team forgets Max Gawn exists. He's the tallest bloke out there, Bill. He takes an uncontested mark in the goal square on the siren. How does that even happen? And you know what? I've got a theory, Bill. What? I reckon they blew it on purpose. Geelong's the only joint in Australia where going to Adelaide's actually a step up.
Yeah.
So I reckon they just wanted to get out of there for the finals. They just wanted to trip with the boys. They learned how to choke from you, Bill. Port by 12 goals on the weekend.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, he's hung up.
Off.
Oh, he's gone.
Good. What a flog.
They learned how to choke from you, Bill. He reckons.
He is a flog, Jim.
I like it.
Where's he been? Haven't heard from
Max
him.
From Melbourne.
Oh, Melbourne.
He's rung as Max.
I thought he was Max Gawn.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Not bad.
No,
all right, now, Fat.
What?
You need to recover from that strafing you just copped from our man and deliver a joke.
Yes.
That's funny.
Yes.
Monday's normally
the day of the laugh. This is Billy's joke.
I got a good Friday Freddy one, Jim, but I'll wait. Karl Marx, Jim. Do you know who Karl Marx is?
Karl Marx.
Yeah. Well, he was a famous philosopher.
I'm not sure he was a philosopher.
Yes, he was.
Oh, no, I see.
He was a historian.
Oh, that's more like it. Yep.
A philosopher, a journalist. Jimmy done everything.
Yes.
And was very, very famous. But no one ever mentions his sister, Anya.
Oh, no.
She invented the starting pistol. Anya Marx.
How's that right?
It's so shit that it's actually funny.
How is that a joke, though? That's like, that's just you being an idiot.
No, yes.
It is.
No. Anya.
Yeah.
Anya Marx.
Yeah, that's it.
Anya Marx.
That's her sister.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Or
what was?
Cousin.
Cousin what?
Skid.
Or
Oh, come on.
Anything?
On your mark.
Who?
Anything?
Nothing.
I got nothing. I got nothing. Louis, come on. You are the king
of the divan. Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. You could win the holy grail of fantasy footy and 50k cash. Play now, supercoach.com.au.